Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship and the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
One of our weapons that we use against the enemy is worship and praise. Amen. One of the weapons that we use against, I don't know what, you might not realize you're in a battle or not, but I'm here to tell you this morning that there's a battle that's going on, amen. And the Lord needs you to pick up your weapon of warfare, amen. And so could you go ahead and exercise your weapon today? Could you go ahead and use your worship and your praise today? Just to go ahead and let God know just how good He is. Just to let Him know how awesome He is. Just to let the enemy know whose side you stand on. The song says, Lord, you're worthy. Amen. I didn't hear the song say nothing about, Lord, I feel like praising you today. Lord, I wish I could praise. I didn't hear the song say anything like that. The song said, Lord, you're worthy. Hallelujah, you're worthy. And so since you're worthy, I choose to lift you up. Amen. Since you're worthy, I choose to lift you up. Amen, amen. I want to share with you this morning, I ain't feel like. Amen. I know a lot of times, oh, it's Sunday. Pastor's excited about Sunday. And I didn't feel like, amen. I didn't feel like. And I said, well, I'm going to press my way. And then when I get to church, maybe just getting in church and just getting in the atmosphere, I feel better. And I came to church and I got in the atmosphere and I didn't feel better. And I still didn't feel like. I didn't feel like till just a few moments ago. Until just a few moments ago. So I don't know what prayer, whoever prayed or whoever did whatever. I appreciate it. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Didn't feel like it. But we here. We here and I feel like it now. Amen. God bless you. There's scripture that comes from the book of John, chapter 3. We read verses 25 through 31. John chapter 3, verses 25 through 31. That's what we read earlier. But for the sake of time, we're going to go ahead and read one verse. This one verse is where we'll actually be concentrating everything that's going to be said here in our message today. Will actually come from that one verse. But would you go ahead and open up your Bibles to John chapter 3? And if you would, I'd have you to concentrate on verse number 30. I want you to have it, would you say amen? If you're able to stand to your feet, we ask that you would. If you need more time, just simply say, hey, wait a minute, I need some more time. Scripture says in verse number 30, it says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Amen, let us pray. Father God, first and foremost, we say thank you. God, thank you for this time. God, thank you for this moment. God, thank you for what it is that you do and how it is that you do it, Lord. We ask, Father God, that you'd open up our ears and our hearts and allow us to be receptive to your word, Father God. God, touch our minds, God, that you give us a measure of understanding, Father, of your word, that we'd be able to go ahead and apply it to our daily lives. Father, we need you this morning. God, we can't make it without you. And I ask, Father, that you would show yourself available to each and every single one of us here today. Lord, allow this word to be preached and shared in the way that you would have it to be done, removing any distractions. removing anything that would take away from your divine will. God, we love you, and God, we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 amen. You may be seated, may be seated. Amen. Amen. John chapter 3. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and if you're a studier of the Word, your Bible might have found it very easy to open up to this scripture. Because for most people, there's a verse in this chapter that they remember. John 3:16. Most people, there's a scripture here in this chapter that everyone remembers as a believer to say, hey, there's a scripture here that I know. There's a scripture here that says, for God so loved the world. And there's a scripture that they always quote that word. And in my time of trouble, this is the scripture that I quote. And in my time of need, this is the scripture that I say to myself. But I want to share with you some of the things that was going on here in John chapter 3. Before we get down to where we are, here in John chapter 3, some of the things that was going on, we see that there's a story about a man named Nicodemus who comes to Jesus and Jesus speaks to him. After Jesus speaks with him and he has his conversation with him, then he goes on to explain just a little bit more of what he meant. And then he goes on and it says after that, that after Jesus left that particular place, that he got up with his disciples and he started to get away with his disciples and he started baptizing. After that, then we hear about this John the Baptist. And anyone that's also spent some more time studying this Bible, you'll know that there's a man that they call the forerunner of Christ. That John the Baptist comes, and John the Baptist, he's baptizing and saying, look, there's somebody coming. There's somebody that's on the way. And so Jesus starts baptizing, and everybody starts to go to Jesus to get baptized. And John's disciples come to him, and they say, hey, John, that Jesus that you was talking about, everybody that was coming to you ain't coming to you no more. They wanting to go to John, wanting to go to Jesus. And John says, yeah, don't you remember me telling you I wasn't the Christ? I was just the one that was to tell of Christ to come. And then he goes to talk about a custom. That's that scripture that deals with the groom and the bridegroom. And the custom of the time was that as the man was getting ready to get married, his friend, his best friend, we call it the best man now, but his best friend would be there and he would take care of all the preparations and do all the different things so that when the groom came, that the groom didn't have to worry about none of that, that all of it would be taken care of. And he said, just as though that custom is, this is just exactly the same thing that I was supposed to do for Jesus. Amen. Amen. And then as we get down a little bit further here in verse 30, it says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Amen. If you're writing down a title for today's sermon, you're writing down a title for today's sermon. I really don't know what I'm waiting for. I really don't know. If you're writing down a title, what's your decrease? What is your decrease? What is your decrease? What is your decrease? 2016, we're living in a time where there's a lot of folk that everybody's looking for the increase. Everybody's looking to be the one on top. Everybody's looking to be the one that folk come to, folk talk to, folk have to get to. Everybody's looking to be the one in the spotlight. John had the spotlight. John had a period. There's a period in this time that John had the spotlight. And this John was going to be born, and John was going to do these things, and this was going to happen. And John was telling him, look, you need to repent. You got to get it in order. Somebody's coming. You got to repent. You got to get it in order. And everybody was coming to John. They more or less left John alone. The religious leaders and the government, all they more or less left John alone. John had the spotlight. John had folk coming to him. But then, one day while John was baptizing, a man named Jesus came along. And when that happened, things changed. This was before John was beheaded, of course. This was before John became a martyr. This is before John went through all the pains and all the different ails and all the different things they started to do to believers at that time. But here we go. Here's John. And John says, have I not been with you? Now I'm paraphrasing this. John says, I've been with you all of this time. The disciples, I've been with you all of this time. Don't y'all remember what I said? That it wasn't about me. I'm just doing my job. It's not about me. I'm just doing my job. We find those same sentiments when we listen to Christ. Christ says those same things. As folk come to him and they say, well, Christ, he says, look, it's not about me. I'm about my Father's business. What's your decrease? What's your decrease? Today, I want to give you a few points to talk about how it is that we should decrease. How it is that we should decrease. Now, before I go into this, I want you to understand that just because we choose to decrease, just because we see ourselves in a decreased area, in a decreased state, does not take away the value of who God has created us to be. John was still valuable, but it wasn't about John. Amen. The Bible tells us in another area in the Bible, it talks about the whole body and each and every single part of the body being an important, integral piece of the body. And that if one piece of the body was missing, that the body would not be complete. If my head, if I was standing here and my head was missing, it would be real easy to see that I didn't have a head. If I was standing here and my arm was missing, it might be real easy to see that I'm missing an arm. But if I was missing my pinky toe, could you tell? But yet, if I didn't have my pinky toe, I still would not be complete. It's all still valuable. Amen? How do we decrease? How do we decrease? How do we decrease in a society that has social media? How do we decrease in a society that is addicted to information? How do we decrease in a society where folk are constantly trying to find the next greatest thing and put someone up on a pedestal? How do we decrease? One of the ways that we decrease is we decrease through our egos. We decrease through our egos. So often, so many times, John had the ability when the disciples came to him, when his disciples came to him and had something to say, John had the ability to go up against Christ right then and there. But John didn't allow his ego to get in the way. He said, it's not about me. It's about him. How do we decrease? How is it that we decrease? We check our egos. And understand that the gift that God has given us, the gift that God has blessed us with, is simply that. The gift that he gave us. Not a gift that we created on our own. Society will tell you that if you work hard, the only thing you got to do is work hard. It'll be okay. Just work hard. Seems to make sense, right, Tabby? If I just work hard, everything's going to be all right. I know people that have worked all of their lives hard and still had to struggle. So just working hard is not the thing that's going to do it all. Just my ability to work hard is not the thing that's going to work every single bit of it out for me. Now, don't get me wrong. Working hard is an important attribute. But without the gift, Scripture says your gift will make room for you. It's not the fact that I work so hard. And so some folk get caught up in their ego and say, because I look a certain way, because I act a certain way, because this is what I have and this is what I don't have, and they get caught up on their egos. But your ego ain't going to work it out for you. You want to decrease, you got to make sure your ego stays in place. So the gift that God has given you and he's blessed you to go ahead and work in that area, it's fine that you've accomplished a certain area and you got a pat on the back, but go ahead and keep it moving. Make sure you say decreased. Another area that to help us make sure we stay decreased is our pride. Our pride of getting away. Our pride will get in the way, because through our pride, what we'll start to do is we'll start to say, you know what? They can't do it if I ain't there. Our pride will get in the way, because with our pride, we'll start to say, you know what? It's all about me. Not that our worship and praise team does this, but sometimes in worship and praise, somebody can start up and sing and worship and praise and say, you know what? It's because it's my song. It's because of my song that I sung is the reason why we are the way we are. The preacher, sometimes the preacher can get caught up. It's because of the way that I preach that we are the way that we are. John says, I must decrease that he would increase. I must step back. As pastor, let me share with you. Sundays is actually the easiest part of pastoring. Even though it's challenging, it's the easiest part of pastoring. It's the easiest part of pastoring because on Sunday, all I have to do is come and stand and give you what it is that God has given me. And this is what everybody gets to see on Sunday. Folk are all dressed up. And it's an easy thing for folk to see. But if you don't know the whole process and everything else that goes on, there's some folk that have to say, well, wait a minute, I got to get here real early in the morning to open up the building. I got to make sure that the chairs are put out. I got to make sure that the sound system is put up. I got to make sure there's a whole lot of things that go. I got to make sure that the Bibles are put out, the hymnals are put out. Somebody had to put the podium up. Somebody had to put everything else together. Make sure the heat is on. Make sure the air is on. Somebody had to do all of this other kind of stuff just to make sure that you're able to sit where you are comfortable. John says, I have to decrease that he may increase. Amen? We got ego and pride. Ego and pride, that's how it decreases. I decrease with ego. I decrease with my pride. And the last thing is I decrease with my humility. With my humility. I have to be humble in what it is God is doing in my life. I have to be humble with the area that God is pushing me to. My humility has to really work it out when I'm looking at this thing. Because if I allow either one of these three things, my ego, my pride, or my humility to get out of check, then I won't find myself in the place that I need to be. The Bible says, and we talk about Christians, to be Christ-like, meaning that I want to be like Christ. Anybody here want to be like Christ? And if I want to be like Christ, then I'm going to have to be able to keep these three things in check. My ego can't get out of line. My pride can't get out of line. And no matter what it is that God does in my life, I have to stay humble. I have to stay humble. Now, your ego, your pride, and humility doesn't get in check simply because a person walks around and talks about it. It gets in check actually by our actions, by what it is that we do. And so Jesus didn't have to just go around and say, look, I'm Jesus. Look, I'm Jesus. Look, I'm Jesus. This is who I am. Look at me. I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus. No, that's not what he did. He went and he did the things that he was supposed to do. But in doing so, he made sure his actions spoke louder than his words. I want to share with you that no matter what you say, there's still people that's going to look at you out the side of their face. There's still people that's going to look at you crooked. There's still people that's going to turn their nose up at you. At no fault of your own, there's still people that's going to act that way. There's still people that's going to get jealous when you get blessed. There's still people when things start to go and start to work out for you that, you know, they was there and they was, but now that it's working out, they don't want to have nothing to do with you. It's truth to the saying that misery loves company. It's truth to the fact that folk sit there and smile in your face, but yet stab you in the back. It's truth to those sayings. John says, I must decrease that he may increase. The best way for someone else to see Christ in you is for you not to try to stand in front of Christ. Ever seen someone try to introduce Christ to somebody, and yet they pick up the Bible, and they become so self-righteous with the Bible? What I mean, in other words, is they start to beat them over the head, they start to judge them, and they start to tell them what they should do and what they shouldn't be doing and all that other kind of stuff. Anybody ever seen anybody do that before? You don't have to raise your hand. Was that person maybe you? But I want to tell you, the best way to introduce Christ to someone is for you to decrease and allow him to increase in the situation. For you to take a step back and allow him to take a step forward. And you just be the example that you need to be. It's not going to be about you as the individual, but allow God to use you. As a parent, you want to know the best way to introduce Christ to your children? Is let them see Christ in you. As a friend, as a sibling, you want to know the best way to introduce Christ to someone? Let them see Christ in you. Based upon your actions. Based upon your responses. This is a touchy situation here in John chapter 3. John the Baptist could have threw a wrench into the whole thing. Could have said, no, it's about me. It's about me. It's about me. He said, no, it's not about me. I'm stepping back. So that he can step up. I'm here to tell you, I don't know what you're going through in your life. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. I don't know the details about it. But I do know how the enemy operates. And I know that what the enemy does is he tries to distract. And he tries to take away. And he starts to whisper in your ear. And he starts to try to cause division. And he says things like, well, they should have chose you. You should have been the one. He says things like, they're not treating you right. You ought to leave. You ought to take your toys and leave. He says things like, why you put up with that? The enemy comes and he speaks all kinds of stuff in our ears to get our focus off of God. Don't get caught up in listening to what the enemy has to say. Be caught up on what it is God would have for you to do. And more often than not, there are situations where we just need to step back and let God do what he's going to do. And just be who it is we're supposed to be. Amen? Amen. Amen. What is your decrease? What is your decrease? After listening to today's sermon, what is your decrease? What is the area that you might be able to think about right now to say, you know what? I might need to just step back. The Bible says the battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. The Bible says vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Could your decrease be that you need to just step out of the battle and let him go ahead and take care of it? Just be the soldier on the sideline ready when he's saying to go. Every fight that's presented to you is not your battle. The enemy would have you to think differently. The enemy would have you to go ahead and jump on out there, unprepared. You're ready to fight. You got all the heart in the world to fight. But if the battle's not yours, how would you ever win it? Even if you come out victorious in the fight, if the battle was never yours, how would you win? John said, I know my area. I know my area. I'm not the one that's been called to that position. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to step back. I'm going to let God do what it is he's going to supposed to do. What is your decrease? Can you look at a situation right now and say, I got something going on. John not stepping back would have hindered the ministry. John not doing what he was supposed to do would have hindered the ministry. Wouldn't have stopped it. would have hindered it. Amen. Amen. It's personal decision time. Personal decision time. Personal decision time. After listening to today's message, if there's